you met my mom. I got it from her.
Oh, okay.
She'll be on the next podcast.
Yeah. She might be if we're all here.
She'll yell at you guys like, why are you talking about all this crazy stuff?
But that's April, Matt. April, this is Matt in the middle.
Hello.
Hi.
My children are in my office. Because my wife's in Wichita.
My children is in Wichita.
Yeah, she went shopping.
Nothing's she good in Wichita.
Well, she there's more there than there is here.
Yeah, there's a lot more there. She left last night, stayed in a motel, and then
no, they have actual stores.
Went shopping. One of her friends went up. And
I only go there for the cheese. And then,
huh? I was talking and I actually didn't hear all that except for I only go there for the cheese.
Look.
Wisconsin?
No.
Cheddar.
Wichita. Cheddar.
Cheddar, Wichita.
Why is there a water pitcher right beside that?
Tempting fate.
Makes no sense.
We're not like taking risks.
We're risk takers. Unnecessary risks.
Such daredevils over here. Who wants to watch the Glades anyways? It's not that good.
I don't know.
Save that for the podcast.
Death to you.
Save that for the podcast.
I love the Glades. Really? You didn't like it at all?
It just does not look any good. It looks so
stupid. So you haven't actually watched it.
Do your intro.
Stupid. I won't watch it because it's stupid.
Why did you bring your children and not your wife?
Okay. So you're going to get a bunch of stuff before.
I'm sorry.
Are you going to cut? No, are you going to cut out the beginning and then give
usually
it to him?
That's up to him.
I usually do that.
Okay.
Sometimes we actually say good stuff. That's why I record it.
Yeah, the last however long you've been recording.
Okay, stop interrupting him.
Yeah, stop interrupting him. Jeez.
Yeah, I had to cut that part out. My wife's like, no, you're not leaving that in. I was like, okay.
She gets picky. She's intense when she fixes your guys' recording up.
She needs...
See, she could comment. I knew she could.
All right, let's go. Come on.
I can see it all so clear. In my mind's eye, I have a feeling that I've got something to say. The tip of my tongue is burning. I've got a...
Hey, everybody, this is Richard Brookman with Comic Pop Library, Episode 10, along with Chris, Matt, Johnny. With us today in our audience is April and Logan, my son and daughter. Flip those, daughter and son.
I didn't know I had
that's
got to
stay in there.
So
wow. You can't correct that.
I kind of like being a girl.
April is my daughter, Logan.
I don't know. Have you ever tried? Never mind.
So, but they're here to lend support, so we'll hear them chirp in a few times. This episode, we are going to go with a Hatter M graphic novel. Currently, it is up to 3 volumes by Frank Better. Johnny's going to be taking that for us. And Neuromancer by William Gibson. And Mr. Chris is going to be handling those chores for us today. So, Johnny, it's yours.
Right. Okay. So, Hatter M is a series by Frank Better. There's a graphic novel series and a novel series. I read the graphic novel because that's kind of what I do for Comic Pop Library. It's the story of Hatter Madigan, who is the queen of Wonderland's royal guard.
Is this a girl or a boy?
His name is Madigan.
So it's a boy.
It's a boy.
That's a queen.
No.
Not typically.
He's the bodyguard.
Not typically.
He's a bodyguard to the queen.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Thanks for clearing that up.
The Queen of Wonderland's bodyguard, or the bodyguard of the Queen of Wonderland.
Okay.
There you go.
It's the same phrase, reversed. Mind-blowing. Anyway, the Queen's sister decides she wants to rule Wonderland and attacks the palace. And the queen instructs Madigan to take Alice and run. He takes Alice. They jump into, they call it the looking glass, like a pool or something. That
anything that has a reflective shimmer.
Like a mirror. Yeah,
yeah, but this one was had a specific pool of some kind. And the two of them in the whirling waters were separated. And so now he's stuck in our world looking for Alice.
That cliche of where they went through together, but their hands got separated.
Right.
And now she's lost.
Right. And so it, which is a neat concept. The
backwards from the novel.
Alice in Wonderland in reverse?
Yeah, kind of.
Basically. Okay.
Cool. But it.
Well, they're keeping Lewis's, right, Lewis? Yeah. Lewis's concepts, but they're saying Alice did not originate from Earth. She originated from Wonderland.
Right.
And like came to Earth.
Yes.
Right.
Nice.
And they talk about the power of imagination throughout the book, and that Wonderland exists because of imagination.
Santa Claus.
And
there's a random thought.
Well,
that's a good example, really.
He exists because of our imagination.
Right. But there's white imagination and dark imagination, or black imagination, you know, evil, whatever.
Mine's purple.
But the storytelling, you know, it sounds kind of whitewashed, kind of rosy and pretty or whatever, but it's actually really dark. And the Mad Hatter, or Hatter Madigan, kills a lot of people. And his hat is like a semi-sentient thing that he pulls off his head and flings through the air. And it splits out into blades and like can kind of control where it goes and slices people up. He does not mess around. He's got blades that come out of the back of his coat. He has blades that he throws, blades that will extend out from his arm, and he just dices people up throughout the whole book.
Kind of an evil, twisted-looking dude there in Volume 2.
It's kind of cool.
It's really cool. The only thing I don't like about it, which is also kind of what I like about it, if that makes any sense at all.
Coming from you, yes.
It's that the artwork is highly stylized, in that it'll have a single dominant color in a pane, and then highlights of other colors, and the rest is just black ink lines. Lots of lines, and lots of little bitty details that you have to really pay close attention to or you'll miss. So what that does is it forces you to slow down and take it in more. But at the same time, they have all these wonderful details and these highlighted colors and things. When it comes to action sequences where they're fighting or something, it does a lot of cutaways. Like, there's from this pane to this pane, a lot of movement happened, but they don't give you that. So you have to figure out, okay, now he's like flying through the window, but before he was, you know, like in the center of the room.
Got to read between the panes.
Yeah, so it forces you to fill in a lot of blanks. And then also, even with the dialogue.
Which you could say is a concept, like you said, imagination.
Right, right.
And you use your own at the same time as you're reading.
Right. It just comes across as heavy-handed, though. This is not to say I didn't enjoy it, because I really did. But I would recommend it for your library. It's something that will appeal to teens. I mean, we have it in our teen department, and it's circulated fairly well.
For me, the artwork is one of those where it's kind of like Arkham Asylum, I think, was one that kind of uses the same style.
Right, right.
Because it's done in a skewed fashion, and Wonderland is supposed to be a skewed world. Mm-hmm. Arkham Asylum's skewed as well. Mm-hmm. The artwork lends itself well, but if you to me, if you threw this into a regular superhero story or a regular story, it would be so jarring it would take you away from it.
Right.
But with this, because of all those concepts already there, it fits.
Right. And another aspect of it is that Hatter Madigan is, you know, that's a play on the Mad Hatter. And really, as single-minded and as focused he is on finding Alice and how wantonly he just, like, murders people to find her, he is a madman. I mean, really and truly crazy.
You want to talk? Go to the mic, dude. You have to stand up. Oh, that's hard.
He gets a bit better, especially after he gets in the madhouse.
Right. He does spend some time in a madhouse, and that makes him slightly better, but it doesn't alleviate his obsession with finding Alice and his willingness to do kind of whatever to slice
whoever.
Up. Yeah, slice up whomever to find her.
And Johnny mentioned that there's a book series to this that was a trilogy.
Right.
And I think we were talking earlier with April, and we were thinking it was more involved, or Logan, more involved with Alice, where this one's, or more involved at Wonderland, and this one's more involved on our Earth.
And I think it might also be a trilogy of trilogies instead of just a trilogy.
That's a possibility.
That is a possibility. Or it could be that, I don't know, we have, what we have here is the graphic novel trilogy right. and the novel trilogy.
And
so.
But don't confuse it. It's not an adaptation.
No, it's more of the same story, just different aspects right. of it. And there are two versions, publications of the first graphic novel, one of which is a hardcover, and it contains extra content. The extra content is just... like the Hatter Madigan in different places throughout the world. Like the first one, he's in London and encounters Springheel Jack, who is a vampire being hunted by Abraham Stoker. His friends just call him Bram Stoker.
He meets up with Twain at one point too, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so. But he bounces around. Then he's in Siberia. Then he's in Asia. And so, but these are not part of the official story arc. They're more of a flavor, you know, little side stories. So you can read them or you cannot, and it doesn't make any difference. There's another version of the book that doesn't include these, and I think it's a little cheaper. So if you want them but don't want to pony up the extra cash, you could go with the other one, and you're not really losing out. But it is kind of neat content to have.
More than likely, if you're not paying attention, you're probably going to order the newer version, which has the extra content.
Right.
Because it is the latest edition. But I enjoyed them. I had fun with them. It's one of those, like I said, if the artwork was in anything else, I would be gritting my teeth all the way through. But because I'm used to the world of Alice in Wonderland being completely
right.
bonkers and skewed, giving me a dirty look over there.
I think it's awesome. Okay. I'm personally a fan of Wonderland.
Yeah. Well, but it is far from what we consider normal, hence Wonderland.
Normal. How are you comparing it to normal? Normal as in the children's movie and book we used to grew up with, Alice in Wonderland, or the movie that they released recently that is really different?
The world we live in, which is not...
Okay. Oh, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the sci-fi version?
No,
oh,
there was an actual movie. What was it called?
Johnny Depp.
Okay.
Yeah. That was a really skewed version of Alice in Wonderland.
I like that version better than Disney's.
Oh, me too. I love it.
Yeah. And it.
And sci-fi did a two-part or actually four-hour movie-type deal.
Mm-hmm. Miniseries.
Miniseries. Mm-hmm. Where it was more technologically based, kind of like, you know, the Hatter M here has more technology. That movie did go into the technology.
Well, Hatter M takes place in 1800s London, or 1800s our world.
You might almost say it has a slight feel of steampunk.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's, kind of. What
It's not completely. I know.
No, it the technology is real world. Steampunk's more of a fantastic technology, if that makes any sense. But Hatter Madigan uses like his swords and his blades and things that strikes of like right. steampunk. So yes and no.
But yes, April's been a fan for quite a while. How many times have you read the book?
I'm on my third time, and it's actually my book now, so.
And what year is it from?
Oh, crap.
Don't even remember. See how important
no,
it was?
No, I want to say that. Wasn't it like 65?
42.
I was close.
It was one of the cheaper versions. She was wanting an antique book for her room, and then she changed to she wanted the antique book to be Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, they have an antique Alice in Wonderland at my school, which I've read countless times. But I'd like if I actually wanted to get that one, I didn't like it because they've already put all the stickers on it and they've markers are in it. So,
Is a book called antique? I mean, a car that's 25 years old or older is considered an antique.
Anything over 25 is considered antique. Even
in
still
books,
a collectible.
I mean, aren't books called like tomes or something at that point?
I'm not that old yet, so I can't tell.
Older than that, and they're called Bible.
No, they might be called tomes because you know it's close to tomb. So you know,
yeah, maybe
you
know, I don't know.
The people that had read it at that time are gone.
Yeah,
but no, we found that at a Logan and I found that, and it's not the slipcase version. It's both books in a single volume, and it's. Not,
leather cover?
It's not an expensive version, but
yeah,
it's a nice,
that'd be nice
older version for her. So
that's still cool. Yeah.
Anything else?
Sounds like shut down. I think we
shot that one in the foot and ready to.
Yeah, we're gonna
yelp away.
We're gonna hobble onward.
Just take.
We might be on this next thing.
Yeah.
Just take a few moments so I don't have to put this in. Vicariously afterwards, we're going to start doing this during the show, but our intro and outro for the episode is provided by musicalley.com or muvio.com, so we want to send out them a thank you for that and saying if you are interested in music from an indie section, you might check them out. It's some of the smaller artists that don't have major labels that are supporting themselves, and they're roughly about the same price, 99 cents a song. It's like anything else. You got your good stuff and you got your bad stuff, but I found some neat stuff there. So if you have a hankering for music, check them out. And we'll go to Chris now with his next review.
You got to just talk into the mic.
I guess so. How's that?
You get
wow.
really quiet.
Well, when he keeps looking at Chris.
You're always going to be in trouble.
I guess so. I will keep it there from now on. I apologize.
Now, I'm going to need some help with this one. Richard read it, and Matt has gotten the first chapter.
I got through the first chapter, which I listened to on audiobook, which is like an hour in the audiobook. So, holy cow.
So, here's the thing. If you like sci-fi, get this book. If you're not sure if you like sci-fi, do not read this. Do not make this your first book you read in sci-fi.
You're
because you got to kind of have a taste for this book. You got to have a hankering for this book. Because when you first start reading it, there is so much detail that it is almost boring. So you got to be really into this book from the get-go in order to really like this book. The other thing is if you don't know if you're going to like it or not, go to the Wikipedia page because you'll save yourself 10 hours and know the book right away. And then I actually read part of the Wikipedia page before I started reading the book because I read chapter one twice. I listened to it twice before I finally got on to chapter two because I wasn't sure exactly how much of the detail was going to be important in chapter one.
And I went all the way through this book.
So did, well, right. I went all the way through it, but I listened to it. And the thing about listening to it is that you kind of pick up on the more important things and kind of the detail just kind of you listen to, but you don't always hang on or grasp it. There was a couple of times in there I had to go back because he defines technology in that book.
Technology is the star, really, than anybody, any person.
Right, right. So, Matt said this reminded him of a movie. I had my own take on it. Mine was, I don't remember, 007 meets the Matrix. Where he's ex-military. 007 wasn't ex-military, but ex-military and uses technology for, I guess, financial gain when he was in the military. And then got caught. And they didn't kill him. They did something weird to him.
Basically burned him.
Yeah.
Gave him something so his implants, whatever, his wouldn't work.
Brain fried. They fried his brain.
Fried him. More or less. Yeah. Fried him is what they
say. Mycotoxin is what they call it.
Look at him.
He's reading the Wikipedia page.
So anyway, he meets up with this. Go ahead.
Well, this one to me, I could not get a character I really liked. And at the end, I just had to read this as the world and read it that way instead of trying to say, oh, this is a cool character, because there was no likable characters for me.
Right.
And we did this with Johnny's review of Alice in Wonderland, which kind of fits together because you'll get into this later in the review, but it's kind of your, where are you at? Are you in this world, that world? Where the... Mm-hmm. Where blink the blank are you?
I'm going to have to go back and listen to the rest of this now.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. This book was done in 1984.
What, really?
So by William Gibson.
So. Can I interrupt you when you said what movie it reminded me of was, have you seen the movie, I think it was Johnny Mnemonic? It's an older movie. You know which one I'm talking about.
I haven't watched it in a long time, but I
haven't seen
it
forever either.
He's a courier, kind of like a courier.
Basically a courier that Jackie used technology.
And
the information
in his not long brain. After it came out, and that was, what, 20 years ago?
I'm sorry.
One at a time.
Sorry. But,
you're going to make mom mad.
Yeah, I can't all talk at once. But that's kind of what it reminded me of. Listening to the first chapter, it kind of reminded me along the same lines of that. So, sorry. Go ahead with your thing now, Chris.
No, that's all right. Anyway, so ex-military guy... I guess he was on a mission over in Russia. I don't know what he was doing there. They weren't real clear on what he was doing, but he was part of an elite, kind of like SEAL Team 6, but an elite group that was focused in on doing something with Russia. And I'm assuming they were trying to steal money from Russia.
Like you said, it wasn't quite clear.
Yeah. So anyway, he gets caught, gets in trouble, and it does. I'm kind of putting everything back together because this is kind of paraphrased throughout the book. He ends up on the streets. I think it's in America. I'm not sure, but it's not American government because there's lots of Japanese.
That's where it gets through. Where is this at? Is this in
right
online
and or
is this
be in the future?
It is in the future.
Yeah,
I think it is. If you listen to the 20th anniversary edition of Neuromancer, the author has a intro, and he kind of goes on to explain what he saw. I'm not gonna. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I think it was a Japanese America.
Well, what I pictured in my mind at the beginning was kind of it was a dirty world. You had your upper class
dark.
That was really had a fancy. Then you had your slums, basically, and that's where most everybody was. In my mind, I kept picturing Blade Runner and kind of how it looked, and it had the Asian influence as well in it. And that's kind of the vibe I got with the description of where he was.
Seen Blade Runner, it wouldn't make any sense. But yeah, now you say that. Blade Runner. Have you never watched Blade Runner, Chris? I'm taking that.
My gosh.
Oh, man, that's a classic. Johnny, you've seen Blade Runner.
I don't have time to watch movies. I got four kids. I can't pay attention.
Blade Runner is a classic. Harrison Ford.
Oh, man, we're going to have to do some classic reviews on movies or something for these guys. If they'll watch them.
That was a Blade Runner. Classic.
Okay, so this
April hasn't seen it. Logan did a long time ago, but he was so young he wouldn't remember.
I don't like old school movies.
Oh, this one you would. This one you would. If you like sci-fi at all, you would love Blade Runner.
She's kind of there,
I'm
but
not that into
she's
it.
Not that into it. She's got her foot in the door. That's about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we're taking away from Chris. That's
yeah,
good.
Go Chris.
No, that's all right. Johnny was going to say something.
Well, what's interesting to me about this is that Neuromancer came out in 84, and the bits I've read and the bits I've read about it.
We're professional here.
What really strikes me as funny is I play a game called Shadowrun. It's a role-playing game called Shadowrun. And a lot of the elements from this book are used in Shadowrun. Shadowrun started in like 88 or 89. They just had their 20th anniversary a couple of years back. So it's really interesting to me because I played Shadowrun first, and now I'm reading a book that was probably hugely influential in that game.
Wasn't that a game on the Super Nintendo or something?
It was a game. It was a game on the Xbox. I think it was the 360. It was one of the first games on the 360, and it was awful. they took the Shadowrun name and slapped it onto a video game.
Okay. I'm just curious.
That was only very loosely tied to Shadowrun. So the reason I point this out, though, is that I suppose I didn't realize how influential this book is, even now, 25 years later.
That book is famous for coining the term cyberspace.
Makes sense.
Okay. So, anyway, ex-military gets in trouble. And then, finally, he is on the streets looking for a job and meets... Did he meet Molly first? Or, I can't remember. Anyway.
Molly was first because she's the one that kind of took him, and then Armitage came into the scene.
Right, and Armitage is his boss.
Yes.
Or her and boss. Hers. Sorry. Is her boss. By the way, if you listen to the audiobook, this guy does a really bad job at a female voice.
Oh, man. He does. It's hilarious.
But anyway. So she kind of takes him under his wing and kind of coaches him into doing another heist. This time it's with, I'm not real clear on this either, a company called Tessier Ashpool. And it ends up being that this is a computer.
Say that again.
I can't.
Is that what the name is?
That is what the name is. Tessier Ashpool.
I did.
Oh, that's great.
And if you say it fast, you miss the H entirely, and it's...
I just wouldn't say the H.
Every time I read, I was like, okay, let's go.
No one ever said this was a rated G podcast.
We can just shorten it to A-pool. that guy's such an A-pool.
But it was actually Ashpool, but it's, yeah.
Okay.
It's interesting.
It ends up being the mainframe of this company.
It makes you wonder what his mindset was when he created that name.
Yeah.
The thing was, is that this thing was actually this, I'm guessing, is the center of, in their world, the Matrix.
Right.
So, what the deal was is Case's job was to shut down that mainframe. And that's not what happens.
Can't ruin the book.
Oh.
Nope. That's why I stopped there.
It's kind of convoluted. I mean,
well, I think we get lost in the detail. There is so much of it that it's what's important, what's not important. This guy has to define a bunch of future terms. No, you're fine. It's your volume.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyways.
Edit last 3 seconds. Okay, anyway. So anyway, that's not he doesn't get to finish his job, but he does get paid.
Well, his pay was
is amazing. I just shut you all guys up all at once.
It's kind of one of those where he gets paid, but the payment isn't necessarily monetary.
Right.
I don't know how much you want to do a spoiler or not.
No. That's...
But
let me put it this way. Read the wiki page, and you'll understand everything that I'm talking about, and you'll save yourself, 9 hours and 30 minutes.
Well, one of these, it's the characters are kind of interesting. Case, he's basically just a drug addict, strung out. He's a hacker. Molly, which you mentioned, her concept in a movie sounds kind of cool, but I don't know if they would be able to pull it off. Cause
she's got Wolverine claws.
And her eyes are basically screens.
She has her implants.
Eyes, yeah, cybernetic eyes.
Cybernetic eyes, and she sees all the info there, and it makes it sound like to the person looking at her, they're silver. But probably. When she looks
I
out,
didn't catch that. That's...
The main guy, Ashpool's main AI system is Wintermute. I don't know if you caught that, but that's the mainframe he's getting into.
And they humanoid these things.
And Armitage, of course, is the colonel over this group of kind of semi-military or major.
Armitage is a personality that Wintermute gave him because they didn't they wanted to hide his past as a colonel.
Right.
So.
And
I'm confused.
Parts of it is here on Earth. From what I understood, parts of it started on Earth. They jumped back and forth between cyberspace and real space, for lack of a better thing. And then towards the middle of the book, they go into space.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Space. Was it space or was it space representation in the Matrix?
So that's the whole thing with this book. You don't really know where
at. I think they actually went to space because he actually jacks in while he's in space.
Right. And some of the people get blown out of an airlock. I remember that.
That's when Armitage died. So. Oops.
Busted.
Spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
But
review. Yes. Review.
Adult. Oh, well, speaking
not necessarily,
of.
We can give spoilers if we want. It's from 1984.
Right.
That's true.
I'm bidding my.
I want to see. Actually, you know what I want to see? I want to see a crazy artist who draws or paints future. Murals. I want to after he reads this book, I want to see what he draws. That would be the coolest, most detailed painting you'd ever see.
Go to www.shadowrun4.com and you can see that artwork.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. A lot of the concepts in this book, like street samurai and somebody who can access the internet with just their brain, that those sorts of concepts are in the game, and they have all sorts of artwork for it. And the game primarily like focuses on Seattle, but
they had some really weird weapons in this book too.
Yeah,
a lot of this, to be honest, well, I'll just tell you right now. This one, I would probably say, unless you have a hardcore sci-fi fan that's really into technology. Don't give it to him. And Chris kind of alluded to this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
This is one where a lot of this, my eyes were glazed as I read it. And I understood some, but then I was like, what was that?
Yep, you got to go back.
I had to make a decision. Do I go back or just say, no, it's all right. Let's go on.
Right. And most of the time you're okay with that until some of the terms he used was system. Or stim pack.
Stimulant pack.
And a lot.
No idea. Oh, but you know, one of the things I mentioned as I was reading this, they've got these little medicine discs that they used in this case for drugs. That they would stick on their arm, and it reminded me of the Nicoderm patch.
Yep. Yeah, the other thing you have to realize is that this is a sci-fi book written 25 years ago.
They didn't have those, though.
No, but a lot of the technology that he's trying to describe, we probably have now.
Do you think it was influenced by the book?
Possibly.
No.
You guys are reading way too much into this.
Well, that's the thing.
Well...
There is so much detail in this book that, and you got to think, you know, we're 20 years down the road, so anything we read in this book, we'd be like, wow, in 1984, maybe that's where this came from.
Okay, well, guys, think all the
way. Probably not.
Think all the way back to 2006. Okay, 5 years ago.
Ow.
Yeah. Okay. Now, think about everything you can do on your simple phone that you carry in your pocket. And think
that's going to be in my eye one
think
day.
Think about what you could the do iPhone. 5 years ago on your phone. Prior to the arrival of the, really the iPhone, the BlackBerry did some of the stuff, but really the iPhone was the probably pivotal moment in this. Decided what you could, I mean, really demonstrated what you could be, what you could do with your phone. Before that, you know, 10 years ago, I never really thought that I would do half the crap I do on my phone every day now. So it's, when this guy is imagining this stuff, he's trying to come to grips with things that he doesn't understand how they could possibly work.
Well, it makes you wonder if he was a friend or acquaintances with Gates and Jobs back then, or somebody that was in their employ that was kind of looking into this stuff at that point that is now common day. Because it's like, where did he get all these ideas from? Were they truly right out of his head? If they were, it was truly influential on what happened later. Mm-hmm. If not, he was, you know, it was still influential, but he was being influenced by people he knew that was actually looking into this stuff. So it kind of makes you wonder what came first. And I'm not that familiar with Gibson to know his background or anything like that. I didn't,
you know,
I didn't wiki him or the book. I read it.
Well, this is one of those chicken or the egg questions, which came first, you know.
Yeah. Well, they I don't know if it was on Sci-Fi or what channel it was on, but they did a show where they grabbed all the major sci-fi, future sci-fi authors together and did a sort of roundtable.
I think that was on the Science Channel.
Right.
And I missed it, and I wish I would have watched it after reading this book.
I couldn't say I saw it. Johnny's dying over here.
I thought you were going to tell us some great insight you learned from watching this show.
I was reaching out for you guys to do that.
Instead, you were like, there's this great thing. And I missed it. It's a good story, Chris.
What a letdown.
So anyway.
That happens in life, is a lot of letdowns.
This so if it's by check out at your library or ILL, I would
if your library, this one. If your library has it, if nobody's read it in a while and you can get it through ILL, I would say you could probably
use ILL.
Use that. Purchase it if you can find a copy. I would say find it in a dollar bin.
Yeah.
Because, unless you're really into that area, you're going to be completely lost. And I am not immersed in it, but I know enough that I was able to get through the book. But there was times where I was like,
no,
God,
I bet you
just
we could read it.
End, please.
If we read it two more times, it would be different each time.
I'm not going to take that chance.
Not into it that much, huh?
No.
That's something he's going to leave purely to speculation.
Fine.
Although,
I'll
Chris,
let you experience
knock yourself
that.
Out and you can tell us about it. Much like that story with all the great things that were going to happen and then you didn't see it.
He's just not going to let that go, is he?
But I think that's probably it. I would say, like Chris said, interlibrary loan it. Johnny gave a thumbs up to Hatter M series.
Mm-hmm. Recommend it for your library, put it in the teen area, or your graphic novels, however you designate that.
Might join us on the next one. But he did say a few things this time. Me and him are the movie guys, I guess. I don't know. I just
shows, movies.
But thank you all for listening. I think we're going to call it an evening. Everybody, thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
We are out.
I can see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta just
thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any comic book publisher or distributor and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show host are their own and are not reflective of any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.